Hello, my name is Mike Ballard. I am a director of the Crossing Public Infrastructure District Number One, and we're calling the meeting to order. I'm here with Joseph Gallagher, another director. We have a quorum, and I'm going to turn the time over to Jay Springer to go through our agenda.
Thank you. So I am legal counsel for the district. Here to kind of guide through the process and help fill things out. There are also several items I want to explain as we go through them. There are different types of agenda items. Some of them are gonna mirror what you've seen in private settings. Some of them are gonna be more specific and narrow. As far as accepting and ratifying the appointment. All we're doing on item two on the agenda is acknowledging the governing documents and what they identify. And then we do have two members. It is a three-member board of Mike Ballard and Joe Gallagher. So there's no action item necessarily there. It's just more of an acknowledgement. Same thing with number three is the oath of office. So every public officer, director, employee, everything like that, there's form that you have to fill out. All of you have received it. It does need to be acknowledged in front of a notary public. Sometimes it'll be done in front of a different government official, but there isn't one for the district, at least not yet. So that's how that goes. And then you just send that to the district. To my office at this point will be functioning as kind of an administrative function as well, just for the records, so that if it ever comes up, we have that in the records. That is number three on the agenda. Number four is the Open and Public Meeting Act training. So as a district, this is a governmental body of the state of Utah that comes with certain obligations. We will have more training that is specifically aimed at the type of structure that we have with a PID. But what I'm suggesting here is that, and I've already sent this to all of the board members, as well as any supporting staff or other parties. Everyone should be familiar with it. This is an annual training. I recommend you do it on the state auditor's website because that the auditor is the one who tracks and logs, and they're very involved. They're also, very cognizant of PIDs, and so they sometimes bring out the microscope. So having it through their website keeps it in keeps th that depository of those certificates in one place, so it's easy for them to have those records as well. So if you don't have any of that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but the basics are, if you're talking about district business, which is something that is going to come up on an agenda item for the district, then those discussions need to be had in the public setting. There are obviously logistical items, meeting postings, creating the agenda, figuring out what needs to be on there. But as far as the substance, as voting, obviously you can't talk about whether you would vote for or against something that's coming up on an agenda item outside of a public meeting. That's the very high level. The other thing that's complicating with a three-member board is that means that two of you constitutes a quorum. So even those discussions, it's a little bit easier when you have more. And finally, the last note for that is when there are questions for legal counsel, obviously feel free to reach out and copy me on all of those copy me on any of those written communications about legal issues, just so that we have some clear guardrails on that. Any questions on that or the logistics of getting that done?
Jay, this is Joseph Gallagher, board member. I have completed my Open and Public Meeting Act training on the website that you suggested, and I forwarded to you a copy of that certificate.
Thank you. Yeah.
We have the conflict disclosures and
Oath of office.
oath of office originals notarized here in the
Okay.
office. Where do those get?
So you, a scanned copy will be sufficient for our record keeping purposes. You could shred them. You could keep them if you have a file. That once we confirm we have a digital copy of those items, that's all I'm ever going to need. So that's up to you. But yeah, let's just make sure we have a scanned copy of that. And that also covers the next item on the agenda, which was number five. So that one is also an annual disclosure. So just keep that in mind. The other thing on that, for those annual items, there's two calendars running. So some of these items are calendar year, like the annual training, and the conflict of interest disclosure statements. We'll try to do those in January every year, but the meeting schedule. But the difference is that the budget, because we are organized under the Utah Inland Port Authority, and they are a fiscal year June 30, that the state auditor wants our budgets to follow that fiscal year. So there are two year ends that we're going to kind of be monitoring, but it's really not that much, and we'll make sure we follow all those. So that takes us to item number six on the agenda, which is board member reports. For right now, I just want to introduce this as an agenda item. My recommendation is that it stays on all agendas so that there's kind of a discussion point. If there are items in process that may be coming back up and they're not quite ready for for a board action, you could give updates. That might also be an opportunity for the developer to make discussions or presentations on the status of the development as appropriate. Doesn't have to be, but that's just kind of a discussion, and there are reports. Like to have it in case there's something that you want to talk about that isn't a formal agenda item. So number seven, if you're ready for that, there's two discussion and action items. I sometimes break these out, and again, this is more administrative procedural. These ones fall under what I'm calling administration and resolution. So when we adopt policies, when we adopt those kinds of items, those are different. Usually there's just going to be a discussion or action items and then whatever they are. So if it's approving a contract, if it's approving a resolution for bonds, it would just be under discussion action items. And then occasionally we'll have budget hearings, and there may be other requirements for hearings, but for a district like this, that's the one that's going to come up. And so we would list those separately to indicate that there is an opportunity for public comment on those. But for these, that's where we are. The first one is to adopt a meeting schedule. I put one together just based on, identifying today and taking us to the end of the calendar year, roughly based on, I think, what was it, the fourth Wednesday, excluding holidays. But this is not set in stone, and the board, to comply with the Open and Public Meetings Act, all you have to do is provide the appropriate notice. You have to have a meeting schedule. You don't have to follow it, but it is kind of a reminder of that we're going to try to have meetings at least quarterly, is how I structured this. We're going to have meetings more frequently than that, at least initially. But we could just call those on 24 hours notice.
Great, thank
So
you.
I would ask for a vote on adopting the meeting's schedule. I need a motion and a second, and then a vote. And for electronic meetings, which this one is not, and it's just good practice for all meetings. Is we want to acknowledge if the vote is unanimous, and if it's not, take a roll call vote, as just to make things easier for the record keepers.
Okay.
I would like to motion that we adopt an annual meeting schedule.
As presented?
As presented.
I second that.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion's unanimous.
Thank you. Item B is adopting the electronics meetings policy. And this one is key because this allows, so you'll note I am remote I am not in the room, but I am not a member of the board. I am not a member of the body. So, under state law, before a member of the body can participate remotely, you have to have a policy in place. So that's what this does. Short, 2 pages, and so I'll just skip to the page. So it basically follows those minimum requirements. It allows participation. It doesn't require participation. It also doesn't require that the electronic means, like a Zoom link, be shared publicly. It can be if you want to allow public participation remotely, but this is really targeted at the board participation. So the board members can vote. They can run the meeting virtually. That's what this does. There is an anchor location. So this is a requirement for all of those meetings that there be a place where members of the public can observe. And if there are public hearing items or we're receiving public comment, there must be a way for them to communicate directly with the board. So there will always be a physical location, but you don't have to be there as a board member once we adopt this policy. Standard, the notice provisions follow the standard 24 hours, unless there's an advanced public hearing notice, like the budget is 7 days, those kinds of things. And then, there's just some basic provisions in here for that. So we're not going to require the district to spend money to host these meetings. We will use resources available to the district, that kind of stuff. So any questions on that? And if not, then we're ready for a vote on the policy.
So I have a question. Do you recommend it be here in Ephraim, or can it be at your office as the anchor location?
So we can do either. There is a preference that it be as close to the meeting location as possible, but given the type of business being conducted, I have no problem indicating that it's mine for most meetings. Where there's a public hearing component, I would typically recommend that that be closer to the site. But
Okay. I move that we adopt the electronic board meeting policies and procedures, with the anchor location being your location.
And we'll designate the anchor location on a meeting by meeting basis.
Ad hoc. Okay, great.
Yes, this is just saying that there has to be one for those meetings. We're not making a decision on that today.
Got it. Okay. Well, then I move that we adopt this electronic board meeting policy and procedures that you have prepared and distributed as a draft into our, I guess.
Just move to adopt as presented, except that it is
I second that motion. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimous.
Okay. Item 8 on the agenda, and thank you. So I recommend we leave this on all agendas. It's a potential closed session. As a government body, you have the right to go into closed sessions for limited purposes. But we're not going to use it. It will be we will know in advance if we need to. We do have an obligation to record our public meetings, including our closed sessions. But because of the logistics, particularly with electronic meetings, we would need to know that in advance so we can set up a second meeting room for recording purposes and kind of do that. But I like to leave it on there just so that it's an option. And so that's kind of what that is. If it comes up, reach out to me offline as a request for legal advice on whether any of those discussions need to be part of a closed session.
We agree.
And with that, that is the last business item that I have on the agenda. So I think you're ready to adjourn if you are ready.
Move that we adjourn.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
All right, let me stop the recording. Thank you.